Now, you often hear about people travelling the length of the country from John O'Groats on the northeastern tip of mainland Scotland right the way down to Land's End by various means to raise money for charity. But a scout leader from Pilgrim's Hatch is aiming to make the 900 or thereabouts mile trip by pushbike and in just 48 hours. His name is Gareth Sell and he joins me now. Good morning to you, Gareth.
Good morning.
Now, we'll talk in a moment about this incredible challenge that you've set yourself. Tell us a little bit first, though, about your background, Gareth.
As you mentioned, I'm from Pilgrim's Hatch. Went to Headywater High School, as most kids around here did. When I was 20, I joined the military. Retired last year. Done a couple of tours while serving. Probably where I got most my fitness and inspiration to push myself, really.
So quite an active sort of background. How old are you now?
I'm 31.
Oh, so you're still young. Retired, I don't know, but I guess that is the normal course of events. And you're actually raising some money in this. You're not just doing it purely for fun. It's UNICEF you've chosen. Why have you picked UNICEF?
I've done various charities in the past. I've put votes out on my Facebook page, and children's charity tends to come to mind. There's still a lot of children in this country that are in poverty, and it's something that this country needs to address, really.
Certainly a lot of need, and they're doing some great stuff. Look, tell us a little bit more about this challenge. I've been bigging it up all morning. When is it you're doing this?
It's next month. I get on the saddle on Friday the 13th of all days.
let's not even go there. I take it you're not superstitious.
Not at all, no.
Good. And you're going to ride from John O'Groats in the north of Scotland right the way down Scotland through England to the southwestern tip of Land's End. How many miles is that?
It's roughly about 967 miles.
Like a walk
Google's
in the park,
mood,
really. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, presumably you've got the route all planned out.
I'm still fiddling with it, but it's pretty much there in my head and on maps.
Now, if somebody had said to me, I'm going to cycle from John O'Groats to Land's End, how long do you think it's going to take me to do, well, let's call it 1,000 miles. I've been saying 900. I've been underplaying this all morning. 1,000 miles. I would sort of scratch my head and think, oof, well, probably a fortnight. You might do it in a week at a stretch, but that would be some going. You're planning to do it in how long?
Well, as close to the world record, which is currently 44 hours, 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
So somebody has actually achieved that?
They have.
That is absolutely phenomenal. And that's been verified, presumably, has it?
That is. You can check it out online and through Guinness. It is all official.
So, 1,000 miles, you're planning to do it in, let's call it 48 hours. So, my quick calculation says that's going to be about 23 miles an hour on average. Now, that's almost as fast as you sort of drive a car if you don't break the speed limit around town. So that's pretty fast anyway, but that will be non-stop. So I'm taking it here that you're not going to be sort of stopping off overnight.
No, it's going to be a non-stop ride. There will be slow times going through towns and cities, over the highlands, but where there's ups, there's always downs as well, or vice versa.
Because I was talking to a friend about this, and I was sort of saying, well, you look at the map, you know, Scotland is up there and Cornwall's down at the bottom, so it looks like you're going downhill. But actually, I don't know if anybody's told you, it's not downhill all the way. It is actually ups and downs. And some really rough terrain, particularly through the Highlands. I suppose you're going to be getting a lot of the tougher stuff out of the way first. Although, having said that, Cornwall is not going to be easy.
I've been practicing a lot in Cornwall. I've just spent 7 weeks down there with work, getting phone lines back into service after the storms. I took my bike down there with me and was cycling evenings and when I got days off. So I'm pretty used to the terrain down there.
What sort of top speeds do you think you'll be getting up to?
On previous events, especially while cycling around Australia, I was only on a conventional mountain bike with weight, with trailer. And I got up to 60 kilometres an hour on that.
60 kilometres an hour, that's what? That's about 35 miles an hour?
Not without checking it, but that sounds about right, yeah.
Because, of course, as a cyclist, you also will be subject to the speed limits, so you better watch that as well. You mentioned Australia there, because this isn't the first time that you've done an endurance cycle thing.
No, this would be my third event. My first one was when I did retire from the army. I set off straight to Australia and cycled from Sydney to Perth, following the coast as best I could, which is roughly 5,000 kilometres, and I did that in just under 2 months.
5,000 kilometres, so that was about 3,000 miles.
Give or take.
Honestly, it absolutely beggars belief. I'm almost speechless. I'm never speechless, as people will know, but you've almost made me lose my words here. You mentioned a lot of cycling you've been doing in Cornwall. What other sort of training are you doing? Obviously, you must be super fit to be even thinking about doing this.
I wouldn't say I was super fit. I'm determined and got a hell of a lot of stamina, and I push myself, and it's not going to be a challenge without making it hard.
Well, absolutely amazing. Look, Gareth, I'm keen to find out a little bit more about this. I know you're not doing it on your own. You're doing the cycle ride itself on your own, but you have got a support team behind you. Keen to hear what their involvement's going to be. Also, some of the obvious questions, I suppose, about safety, your own safety and that of other people as well. And also how people can support you, because most importantly, you are doing this for UNICEF. We need to take a quick break first, though. But at the moment, it's Alan with you with the Feel Good Saturday, and I'm chatting with Gareth Sell, who is a leader of First Pilgrim's Hatch Scout Group, about his incredible endurance cycle trip that he's planning on completing next month to raise money for UNICEF. Very worthwhile charity there. He's planning on riding from Johnnegroats to Land's End non-stop. He's aiming to do it in 48 hours or thereabouts. The record stands at 44 hours 4 minutes and 19 seconds. Are you looking to beat that record, Gareth?
It would be a dream, but only a dream.
I suppose really this, you do this, and you could do it again actually, couldn't you, because there's quite a lot involved in actually trying to break an official record and actually get in the Guinness Book of Records, isn't there? So I guess you're not actually going for that this time, presumably.
It would be nice to go for it again and use this event as a recce, so to speak.
You could always go the other way.
That's uphill.
Now, listen, as I said earlier, it's not just you doing this. You have got a support team behind you as well. Tell us who they are and what their involvement is.
We've got Matt, who's my driver. He'd be following me most of the time. He's also the leader of the support crew and making sure they run in as smoothly as possible, especially if I have any issues changing tyres, wheels, chains, etc. We have Ollie, who was the co-driver. He's now my nutritionist and navigator, and we're currently looking for a second driver.
Right.
And possibly having a friend of mine as official photographer come along.
Oh, yeah, you've got to get some pictures up. Presumably you've got a Facebook page. I know you've got a website as well, which we can give details of before you go. So you'd be putting pictures up there as, well, you not you personally,
but
part of the team. The official photographer will be posting pictures up so people can keep track of how you are doing. So the support team are going to be following behind you in a car, is that right?
In a minibus.
In a minibus, right. Got to ask you about some of the sort of the safety aspects of this. You're planning on riding on the roads non-stop. Now, if you were a lorry driver or something, obviously you'd have very strict rules on fatigue and things. But you're just going to keep going. How are you going to manage that?
I've had some pretty long days on previous events. I think the longest I've probably done on a previous event is 16 and a half hours on the saddle. I have taken computers along bike rides and training events leading up to this, and I've worked out that I burn roughly 500 calories an hour. So as long as I'm eating every hour, chocolate bars,
I guess a lot of what you're going to be eating and drinking is going to be sort of high energy
stuff.
You're really sort of planning the diet quite carefully, I guess.
Yeah, and that should keep me as alert as can be while I'm on the road.
Right. And what about the guys following? Because they're obviously going to be driving for that period of time as well. Are there any sort of safety concerns there?
We've had team meetings about this, and they're going to do about 2 hour stints driving. If they any one of them gets tired, then they swap over
right
early. I've also said to them that I'm going to be a lot slower on a bike than what they can be in a vehicle, so if all of them are equally tired, they can drive ahead, get the heads down for a couple of hours
right
collectively,
and then just wait for you to
catch me
back up
if need be.
Right. Have you been in touch with the police and the authorities in the areas you're going just to warn them of what you're doing?
Not as of yet. That'll probably be just before we go. Otherwise
right.
May forget.
Because I guess if they are following you, you're going to be riding, I don't know, let's call it 20 miles an hour or something. There could be a bit of disruption, couldn't there? They could sort of be holding up the traffic a little bit. Is that something that...
There is that. Obviously, common sense would prevail, and if there is traffic, they can move ahead, pull over, wait for me to go past, and just leapfrog me as
right.
I go.
So a little bit of a learning curve, I guess, to some extent. As you say, common sense will prevail. This is what you're aiming to do. And very best of luck with it. And let's call it the trial run. I think you might be doing this again, you know. I think you should do it the other way. What are some of the main things you're worried about? I mean, you've talked about the bike, obviously, punctures, things like that. You've got that all in hand. Are you taking a spare bike?
No spare bike, because when we started planning this, this was... initially going to be a Guinness attempt, and we'll state that you're only allowed to use the one bike, and so we've stuck with that even though this isn't a world record attempt anymore. As for any issues I might have, touch wood, on the two previous events I've not experienced a flat tire.
Really? That's incredible. Well, let's hope that it goes as smoothly this time as well. What about the heat? I mean, you're doing it in June. I mean, today is, you know, it's starting to get a little bit warm, and, you know, we talk about the British summer, but in all seriousness, you're going to be doing this, when is it? The 13th of June, you're setting out, the middle of June, you know, the height of summer, really. It could be... Well, I'm going to say hopefully, but I don't mean that from your point of view, but from, you know, everybody else, we're sort of wishing for nice warm temperatures. Does that worry you at all?
At least it's not liquid sunshine.
Well, it could be that as well.
Like I've mentioned before, I've cycled across Australia, and that was 45 degree heat for most days.
And I guess...
And you adapt to it.
In Afghanistan as well, I guess you were used to some pretty tough weather conditions as well.
That too, I suppose you can say I'm pretty much an expert on the
so actually the
climate.
British weather is probably going to be pretty tame whatever it does.
Yeah,
great. And what about other things? Do you have any other particular concerns, or is it all,
I think my
you
biggest
seem pretty chilled about the whole thing.
I am pretty chilled about these things. I don't know why I should be panicking right now, but my biggest concern is if my iPod dies.
That's
no joke.
That is your biggest worry. I love that.
If you've got no music, days can be long. Hours can seem...
I guess so. And anybody who sort of does longer. Anything, you know, you go to the gym or you go out jogging or something like that, music is so important, isn't it, actually? So, yeah, I love that is your biggest worry.
It's also... music is quite important after the event as well, because you can be... I could be in the minibus driving back to Brentwood and I hear a song and it just... puts the whole event together in my mind. Is like, wow, yeah, I've just done that, and that song brings it to life.
So you're not taking a spare bike, are you taking a spare iPod?
I'm taking my iPod, my iPhone, and probably some charging, just try and swap between the two.
Great stuff. So hopefully you won't have problems. Look, you're doing it for UNICEF, as we said. Have you got a target amount that you're looking to raise?
I just like to raise as much as I can, and if I surpass previous amounts, then I'm a happy guy.
Brilliant. And you're looking for people to support you, obviously, in doing this. How can they do that? You've got a website?
We've got a website. It's epic83.web. Through that, you can get links to my Facebook page and Twitter page. And on both of them, there are links to Just Giving page and a text number on there as well, so you can text while you're just doing your everyday working life.
Brilliant. So it's all on there. Epic83, that's the numbers 83, epic83.webs.com. Look, Gareth, we do need to leave it there. I could talk to you all day, because I, as I say, I'm just absolutely sort of astounded by what you're planning to achieve. Just remind us once again, it's John O'Groats to Land's End, and how many miles, as you say, it does depend obviously on the route, but
967 miles,
that's what we're going to settle for, 967 miles, which is going to be an average speed, if you do it in 48 hours, of around about 23 miles an hour. I love what your publicity guy, Ian, said, actually. He's sort of bigging up the whole thing, and he said that you're going to be setting out at first light on Friday, the 13th of June, and arriving in Cornwall at Land's End in time for breakfast on Sunday.
It's as if, hopefully,
as if it's just sort of a casual, you know, leisurely sort of leisurely thing.
The only problem about arriving at breakfast time is there's just not that much down there, so it might be hard to find a bit of breakfast.
So that's another worry.
Another worry, yes.
I absolutely love it. Look, Gareth, it's been a real pleasure and a privilege to meet you. The very best of luck to you, also to your support team, to Matt and to Ollie, and your photographer. Who's your photographer?
Margot.
And also, you're looking for a third person as well. Have you got a third person?
We've got someone in mind. We're just checking details with insurances at the moment. If not, we will be asking for any volunteers.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Gareth, for popping in.